Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two. Pretty good. Hour number one went fast. It went fast. I've already received texts. People have called in saying, wow, they liked this first hour, especially the information you gave, Jerry, on the testing and stuff like that. Very, very helpful. So you think it might be June before our own equipment in our lab.
They're telling me that by June, they should be doing multiple tens of millions of test capacity per week.
That sounds good.
And they said by then they expect to have saturated everything the government's going to buy and allow private labs like us to start getting it.
That's great.
Now, you got to remember, that's not an ironclad contract. They have not signed anything. That's just what they told me in conversations, which is a whole different order.
But it's encouraging because with all of our patients at Longevity, under the heading, if you don't measure, you don't know, measurement is part of what we do.
And our patients are in the high-risk category.
That's
you
right.
know, our people are in that age group where...
5+.
Yeah. And so, yes, I want to know what the incidence of resistance is in our clinic.
That's right. Another small advantage, because it's going to cost us about $1.
Yep, about $1
and we won't charge our patients.
No, we'll throw it into the rest of our labs.
Of course we will. Anyway, so that's good news. Let's see. Oh, I told you. I've got Dr. Dan Nelson, and I was just told he's on hold and available. Dr. Dan Nelson. Dan, welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, sir.
Yeah. Hey, we are doing well. Actually, I want to ask you that question, but again, I want our listeners to know that I have a knee problem. Not that they need to know that, but the fact is I called you, and I'm coming in to see you Monday. And I've got a problem behind my knee. It's been getting worse the last 2-3 years. And you're going to see me Monday. And the key reason I'm telling people is I have absolutely zero hesitation about coming into Pro Ortho and seeing you Monday afternoon. And I'm assuming that you're perfectly willing to help people who are in pain right now, correct?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we found out on Friday afternoon, our clinic director told us, we're part of ProLiance, and we found out that we have the green light to pretty much go back to business as normal, meaning we'll be taking all the CDC precautions, of course. But, yeah, we're all the any kind of constraints are pretty much removed at this point. So we got the green light to treat patients with moderate to severe pain, which we've been doing all along. And so that was good news. But, yeah, absolutely. We are open for business for sure. So it's definitely a good thing.
And with that in mind, real quickly, I was real encouraged to hear you have a webinar this afternoon. And that's at 3 o'clock.
We do, and Pete, at 3 o'clock. Yep.
It's free. And who is the perfect candidate that might want to attend your 3 o'clock webinar today?
I would say anybody that is in pain or knows somebody who's in chronic pain should tune in. So they can go to my website, conqueringyourpain.com, or danielnelsonmd.com, and there's a link. And it's, like you said, Pete, it's free. You just click on the link, and you can register and sign up for the webinar at 3 p.m. We're going to be talking, of course, about, the title is 21st Century Strategies for Conquering Your Pain. We're going to be talking about new stuff, old stuff that's now new because of changes in technology. I don't know if you get, I'm sure Dr. Mixon's aware that the cost of chronic pain in the U.S. is more than cancer, heart disease, and diabetes combined. It's kind of a shock to when you think of the cost of chronic pain.
No kidding.
Of course, that doesn't account for the personal cost of people who bear the burden of chronic pain. And after this, you know, the new normal of after the coronavirus thing, I think people, like you referred to earlier in the show, being sedentary for any reason, not going to be a good strategy. You're going to want your immune system tuned up, and part of that is being active. And so it's critical that patients in who are in chronic pain seek treatment and get answers and get moving on with solutions. So, yeah, today at 3 p.m., go to conqueringyourpain.com or danielnelsonmd.com. Both of those have the link, though it's essentially the same website. So it's going to be fun. We're just going to do a real brief overview of these the new and upcoming things, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent idea. conqueringyourpain.com. It's at 3 o'clock. It's free, and if you are in pain, you're just nuts if you don't tune in. I mean, make a point of tuning in. Information, education is key, and getting rid of your pain is one of the first and most important things you can do, because it'll affect your overall health, not just your knee pain, but your overall health as a result of getting out of that pain. So, Dan, they can call your office now, like I did, and schedule an appointment like I did yesterday at 425-823-4000. Is that still the best number?
That's still the best number right now, for sure. That's the main number, and we're getting ramped up, but that is the best number. We'll have other numbers available, but that's the main number now, for sure.
Okay. Again, it is 425-823-4000. Or listen to the webinar tonight, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, by going to conqueringyourpain.com. Easy. Hey, Dan, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Okay.
And have a good webinar.
I just want to say a little acknowledgement to Dr. Mixon about his mother. Condolences. She sounded like a wonderful lady, and I really appreciate him sharing that. And kind of, I had some reminiscence of my own mother at the time. So anyway, condolences to you, Dr. Mixon.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Have a good day and a good webinar at 3 o'clock, conqueringyourpain.com. All right. You know what Dan just said about your mom. I only met your mom like 4 or 5 times over mm-hmm. the years. But every time, she seemed like a real pip. You know what I mean? I mean, she wasn't a wallflower. She had a sparkle. She had just sort of a zip to her that was refreshing.
Mom was outgoing, confident, always found the positive in everything that happened.
Yeah.
I never, ever in my lifetime with her knew her to be depressed or negative. Anything and everything that happened. The only thing that I ever had a serious disagreement with her mom was that she is was totally convinced that Republicans were the spawn of Satan.
Oh,
and and she wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton because it was a woman's turn.
Oh, sure.
So, well, but other than that,
we'll forgive her for those delusions.
That's right. I love her anyway. Yeah.
That's all right. It's just a sad thing that she had to pass. But thanks again for sharing. If you just tuned in, obviously we're talking about Dr. Mixon's mom who died this last Tuesday. And a sad event, but she went peacefully.
She did indeed.
That's nice. All right. Okay. Let's do this. First of all, we've got, all of the lines are open because we went so long and then had Dr. Mixon. All the lines are open at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. You can call right now. If you do call right now, you will be first up at 800-465-8770. And another reminder, no, this is not the COVID-19 radio show.
No.
We can talk
about that, but we can talk about anything connected to medicine. So
let me
give us a call.
Let me ask you a question about longevity. 21 years now. What are the top, let's say, three reasons people want to become a patient at longevity? Three or four reasons.
Okay. Cognition. People feel that they're slowing mentally. They're starting to get absence. You know, what was that name? Why did I walk in this room?
Yep.
Energy, strength. Energy equals strength. Strong muscles don't fatigue easily. And so when people are getting tired all the time, what's really happening is their muscle mass is shriveling up. Weight gain, because there is a shift in metabolism towards fat production as people age, and sexuality, men and women. They lose the libido, they lose their joy in being male and female. So those are probably the big four. Cognitive changes, fatigue, weight, and sexuality.
It's interesting that you mentioned cognition, and I certainly know that to be true. I've seen studies, you've shared studies. I think for people over 60, that cognition is the number one concern over cancer, over heart disease.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though. If you ask them, what do you worry about most, it's losing my mind. But people will almost never go to the doctor and say, I think I'm losing it mentally. Nobody wants to admit they're going downhill. Yeah. Everybody wants to think that they're the exception. The reality is everybody goes downhill with age. Mental capacity declines with age. There are nomograms that show how fast men and women go downhill in different modalities, by the way. Men and women lose their capacity for executive function versus verbal skills and so on at different rates, but we all decline with age.
Isn't that fascinating?
The good news is that it is not a given. There are things we can do to improve cognitive skills and help you to get smarter again.
Wouldn't you say, I hate to say this out loud, but wouldn't you say that I'm a classic illustration of cognitive skills getting better in the last 6 years?
In the last 6 years, compared to where you were 20 years ago, you are dramatically better than you were.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just the reality. You are better in your 70s than you were in your 50s.
And you know.
I know. I worked with you.
We've been as close as you can get.
As
friends and associates.
Yep, I've known you both personally and professionally for all these years, and you are distinctly doing better now than you were when I met you in your 50s.
And so the only reason I say that, it's kind of embarrassing, but it's great news. I'm really happy about it. But it's interesting because you've also shared that the studies show that people who think maybe they're starting, you know, they're missing a word,
then they probably are. Yeah. If you think you're losing it, you probably are.
And so this is yet another reason. You're right. People don't want to say, hey, doc, I think I'm losing it. But it's so critical during those early stages when you think, oh, maybe.
That's when we can get the most effective turnaround.
That's right.
And the problem that we get, though, is people go to their doctor, and if they do say it, they get a mini mental status exam.
Oh, yeah.
Which tells you whether you're overtly demented or not. But if you're not demented, you're assumed to be normal.
Yes.
So the testing is stupid. Horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. Really foolish. But that's because traditionally we don't care. medicine in modern world does not treat you if you are losing your cognition until you get demented. When you're unable to dress yourself and go to the store and take care of yourself, then you get treated. But during that long period of decline in which you are still functional in society, but less and less smart, you're ignored. And that's just wrong. So that's why we do a much more comprehensive cognitive test than the mini mental status exam. And so we are actually looking at where your cognition in multiple domains is compared to other people your age.
In fact, we've contracted with Cambridge, right?
Yes, we do this. We do the Cambridge Brain Study, and we do it on everybody that comes in as a new patient. And we want to look and see where you are.
So we're not a cognition clinic. We're not an energy clinic. We're not a weight loss. We're not a sexual dysfunction clinic. But when you deal with basically the whole body, we deal with these areas. And so I just want to encourage you. This is why the first step to solving a problem is defining the problem. My dad has taught me that forever, and you've been pounding it into me for these last 20 years. If you don't measure, you don't know. So come, let us do some measuring.
I'm actually part of a group that is applying for a National Institute of Health grant to do a year-long study on early Alzheimer's and early cognitive decline, a multimodality study. So if that study is funded by NIH, we'll be using this radio show in part to help recruit people for it. We'll be looking for about 200 people that we can do therapy for a year. It'll be a blinded placebo control study, 1 year long, looking at multimodality interventions with cognition. But the grant request goes in this Wednesday, I think.
Interesting.
And
cool.
Then we'll probably get an answer by fall.
This is just an illustration, folks, of why we suggest you take advantage of one of these new health analysis appointments. Let us do some measurement for you. The two tests are free. The masks are free, by the way. And also $100 of longevity supplements are free if you come in between now and the end of the third week of May. And so just go to our website, lmclinic.com, and schedule your appointment right now, lmclinic.com. All right, let's go to a break. When we come back, we've got Kathy wants information on vitamin D, Steve, information on being older and the COVID-19. Leroy wants to know where to find a good primary care doctor. That's a question that we get.
I'm sorry, I retired.
That's right. Anyway, we'll be right back. And Dr. Mixon is looking at me with a scowl on his face right now because he just heard the ad, and the ad does not say you get the two free masks with the free health analysis appointment, too. And so, I don't know, I had a mental block or something like that. Yeah, you get the $100 worth of supplements, but you get the two masks, too.
That's right. So that's, two N95 masks.
That's right. So, just one reason, another reason go to our website, lmclinic.com, and make one of those health analysis appointments. We've got somebody that didn't want to go on the air, wants to know the best supplements that are in our memory packs. We sell them.
Oh, my goodness.
So how do you answer that one?
That is an incredibly complex mix. What we basically did, we looked at the patients that were treated at the Buck Institute down at the UCLA Alzheimer's Research Center.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole supplement recommendations that they used in their patient population we put together. And, you know, it started out
17.
There, yeah, 17, 18 different yeah. things. And when we looked at that, originally we used them as separate supplements for the patients. And literally it was a grocery bag, a great big grocery bag full of stuff
yeah.
For each patient. And so we went back to the companies and we said, hey guys, let's put all this together, packed into as few pills as possible. And we got it into these little packets in which you're now looking at, I think it's like 8 pills twice a day, something
That's right.
like that.
Yeah.
Which is a lot simpler.
Yeah. Before, literally, you're not kidding about the grocery bag, because you had
it
really
was.
You had to go to 18 bottles a day, twice a day. Talk about a pain in the tush.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
Yeah, so we put it in a packet, and it's, you know, it's 18. All 18 things are now into 8 pills. And so it's still a fistful of pills twice a day.
Yeah.
But well, it is
not so bad.
8 pills twice a day as opposed to 18 things twice a day. So,
and it's interesting. I've told this story a couple of times, but I have a very good friend who stopped writing. He's been an author his whole life, very successful guy in business and an author. And he was writing a book. He quit writing because he couldn't, he just, those words, the unique words that he wanted, they just were on the tip of his tongue all the time. And it made the writing process miserable. He was noticing this slight decline.
But it was a significant enough decline he couldn't do his job anymore, which
that's right. And it was more of a hobby and a joy at this point. He's, you know, whatever. But he got on, he's a patient at Longevity, and he got on the memory pack, and he said within 90 days he was writing again.
Yeah.
Could it be that fast?
Yes, but it was probably a mixture. He's also getting all the hormonal therapies.
Oh, yeah.
And so several of the hormonal therapies are part of the treatment. I mean, you know, if you looked what Bredesen did down at UCLA, it included hormonal therapies.
And exercise.
And exercise and
diet,
and, diet yeah. and weight loss. And I mean, a whole lot. It's yeah. a multimodality.
Yeah.
And the supplements. So.
Yeah, this is the battle that you and I have been going through since
yeah.
day one.
Everybody wants to say, what can I take,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, a supplement? Well, the supplement was part of the program.
Right.
And so, yes.
Not the memory, program.
Right. The memory pack has all of the supplements that Bredesen used in his program. But it does not include the hormonal evaluations and therapies,
right.
the anti-inflammatory, the lifestyle changes, the diet changes, the exercise, all the other things.
But my point is, it can't hurt you, and there's a possibility that it could help. Even if you're not a patient at Longevity.
You said a word that, as a physician, I bridle at. Can't hurt. Anything strong enough to help
right.
is strong enough to hurt.
All
There's
right.
a downside to
all right, all
every
right,
decision
right.
we make in medicine, okay?
All right.
So I will never tell anybody it can't hurt.
That's right.
It's unlikely to hurt.
All right.
Okay. It is probably going to be of some benefit.
Vitamin C has probably killed somebody.
Somebody somewhere, they choked on the pill and aspirated the thing and, you know, got pneumonia and died from it. I don't know. But
okay. Long in the
but
short.
But I am aware of people who died from water intoxication.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
So.
I mean, the most famous case, although in my years as a family doctor, 3 or 4 times in my career, I ended up admitting women to the intensive care unit with edema of the brain from drinking too much water. Okay. These were women that read books about how water is good for you. You've got to stay hydrated. And they drank and drank and drank. And they washed out the positively charged ions. They got cerebral edema. They were in the intensive care unit trying to die from drinking too much water.
Yeah.
Okay. So water can kill you. It's just.
We get your point. Consider
right.
me rebuked. I
okay.
agree. I'll do my best not to use the
word
can't. When it comes to medicine, good or bad.
The only other time I will use can't is when I say, I can't tell you. Because I don't know.
That's right.
All right.
In any event, it's the longevity memory pack that we do have available, and our patients do love it, and it's been quite helpful. Again, just another reminder that if you're struggling in this area of memory, even if it is just those little things that are starting to bug you a little bit, boy, grab one of those free health analysis appointments at lmclinic.com. Okay, to Renton we go. And Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi. I recently heard from another talk show host. He's done extensive studies and stuff over the years in vitamin D, and he said it can compromise or not be a really good thing to take if you have an immune system that's already compromised. Do you know anything about that, and what exactly would that mean?
Okay. Well, immune system is compromised, kind of a vague and broad range of terms. But let me tell you about vitamin D and immune responses, okay? First of all, virtually everybody in the Pacific Northwest has lower vitamin D levels than they really should. Okay. Mm-hmm. When we developed our vitamin D standards, the first standard we developed, and the only thing I was told about vitamin D when I was in medical school 45 years ago, was if your levels are below 13, you can get rickets. You know, your bones won't develop properly when you're in utero. And that was basically the standard. If you had a vitamin D of 15 or so, everybody was perfectly happy with you. We now know that there is an improvement in vitamin D levels up until you get 25-hydroxy vitamin D levels in the range of about 60. Anything below 60, you have increased risk of wide range of infections, of several cancers, of osteoporosis, osteopenia, because bone density tends to improve until you get up in the range of 60 or so. And then from that point on, higher levels don't make your bones any better, but they do continue to improve other functions. There are studies even in children showing that vitamin D levels have a direct impact on cognitive skills.
That's right.
Kids learn better with higher vitamin D levels. Adults do better cognitively with higher vitamin D levels. And that improves all the way up to the range of 110 or thereabouts. Once you get over about 110, now you start getting toxic changes. You start getting increased levels of calcification in the arteries. And so we try to keep you, my target, 60 to 100, 60 to 90. In that range is kind of the ideal where I want most people. Now, that, by the way, is also been shown with the CCP virus, the coronavirus. People with higher levels of vitamin D tend to get less sick. Most of the people that get admitted to the intensive care unit have suboptimal levels of vitamin D, which I think is kind of an interesting correlation. People in climates where they get a lot more sunshine have a lower incidence of coronavirus. Which is one of the things that makes us think it may or may not be the vitamin D. It may be the warm, moist weather. For instance, right now, Australia is in their summer. They're almost a fall, but during most of this epidemic was during Australia's summer. Okay. And so let me kind of give you a couple of fun numbers here. Right. Let's see. Singapore, right down on the equator, where it's super hot all the time. Singapore's got 5.5 million people, bigger than
Washington
State. Yeah. Only they're packed together into one tight little island. They're crammed together. No space, no social distancing possible in Singapore. Singapore, with its 5.5 million people, has had 12 deaths.
My goodness.
From coronavirus. 12. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. They they don't get it in hot climates. If you look at the United Arab Emirates, again, you know, Saudi Arabia area, they've had 64 deaths. Okay. The Philippines, poverty stricken, tight population, packed together, 494 deaths.
Where was that?
Philippines.
Philippines. Okay.
Okay. You know, South Africa, 79 deaths. Morocco, 159 deaths. Okay. Argentina, 179. Thailand, poor country, densely populated, but down where it's warm and sunny, 51 deaths in the entire country of Thailand.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, when we talk about people who get a lot of sunshine, they all have high vitamin D because of the high sunshine, but they also have a warm, moist climate. And warm, moist climates appear to correlate throughout the world with low coronavirus infections and low death rates.
So why did the press go after Trump so badly when he said...
When he said ultraviolet light probably kills it? Because they're the press and they hate the guy. But he's right.
Yep.
All of the studies are showing that throughout all the areas that are below the equator that are now currently summertime have low, low incidence of coronavirus infections and very low death rates. So we are hopeful that as summer comes to the States, things are going to get a lot better. So we're probably starting to open up at just the right time as spring is springing and warmth is coming. Downside, we don't get a lot of sun in Washington State.
Yeah, bummer.
We are probably not going to get as much benefit as many of the other states that get better summers than we do.
Thanks for your call, Kathy. With that, we are very late for a break. We'll do that now, and when we come back, we'll talk with Steve from Renton. Got a question about getting older and the real issues and concerns with the virus. And Leroy from Covington wants to know about sort of the combination of a primary care doctor and long-term care insurance.
Okay.
That's an interesting twist, so don't go far. All right, folks, welcome back. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine today with Dr. Jerry Mixon, sponsored, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinics for the last 21 years. That's what we are all about. Let's go to Steve in Renton. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to talk radio since 1992, roughly, like 28 years.
Okay.
And I just know a little background. So I'm up in tune with everything, and I know how politics get involved with everything and with health issues and anything that's going on. Like, it's very obvious. Politics has gotten very involved with the coronavirus epidemic. So, you know, I'm a little concerned. I turned 60 years old in January 15th. Martin Luther King had his birthday the same day as mine, January 15th. So I'm 60 years old, and I'm in that category that's getting close to, they say, 65 and older are more vulnerable. I have no underlying conditions or pre-existing conditions. I have a little bit of a belly that I've already lost like 10 to 15 pounds going through this thing in the last, you know, couple of months. Anyway, my question is, people that are like 60 years old, you hear about people that get the coronavirus and they have no symptoms or very mild symptoms. Is it possible that somebody my age that's fairly healthy, I've never heard anybody, I've been listening to weeks and weeks and weeks of experts and Dr. Fauci and everybody, I've never heard anybody say that. Is it possible that somebody's 60 years old, that's fairly healthy, no pre-existing conditions, could get the coronavirus and not have any symptoms whatsoever?
Yes, it's possible, sure. You know, statistically, if you are in your mid-60s and you get the coronavirus, you have about a 4% chance of dying, which means you have a 96% chance of not dying. All right? And so yes, I mean, 4% is a lot higher than a 40-year-old, which is 0.2%. Okay? And if you're below 40, your risk of dying is less than 0.1% if you get the virus. So, you know, 0.1% below 40, 0.2% in your 40s, okay? 0.4% in your 50s, okay? Jumps to about 4% in your 60s, about 8% in your 70s, and nearly 16% in your 80s, okay? So.
Dr. Mixon, I just turned 60 January 15th, and I'm, you know, fairly healthy. I do landscaping, and I'm active, and I'm fairly, you know, fairly healthy. I have a little bit of a belly. I need to lose a little bit more.
We've got it. Go ahead.
Okay. But what I'd say in your situation is, when you go to the store, wear your mask. You know, you do not need to hide from the world. Unless you're terrified of dying, I mean, you know, because just based on your age, you know, now you're at the low end of the 60s, and you sound like you're healthier than the average American fat 60-year-old. So okay, so let's say your chances of dying if you get the virus are 2%, maybe 3%, you know. So a 97-90% chance you wouldn't die even if you got it. And so wear your mask, wash your hands. Enjoy your life and do not live in fear. Get the heck out of the house. Put your mask on. Wash your hands frequently. Every time you come back in the house, wash your hands. You know, I'm in my 70s. That's what I do, right? I get out of the house. I come to the office every day. I am here working 6 days a week, but I go out. I run a few miles on the Cross Kirkland Corridor. We take my 8-year-old daughter to the skateboard park, and her mother and I sit and have our lunch and snack, and we watch our daughter playing in the park. We don't drive to the park. We walk the 2.5 miles from our house to the park. Actually, we run there because it's slightly downhill. So I run there, and we run about halfway home. My wife, who is 30 years my junior, runs the whole way home. My runs poop out about 3.5 miles. But, you know, we stay lean, we stay fit, we stay healthy, we wear our masks when we go to the store. But we go to the grocery store almost every day because we walk the 2 miles to our grocery store. We buy our stuff. We walk home carrying our stuff. We don't wear our masks walking there because there's no one around us. We get near the store, we put our masks on. We go in, we do our shopping. We go out, we take our masks off, and we walk home.
And with that, Steve, we've got to go to another caller here in a moment. But to make your point, Jerry...
Live your life.
Yeah, live your life. But to make his point, I had a very good friend die of the virus. 66 years old, 2 months before he got the virus, less than that, 6 weeks. He had spent 6 weeks in Australia, deep sea scuba diving. These are the 100 to 200 foot dives. He did 27 deep water dives in 6 weeks. This guy was, mean, you know, he's no wimp.
Yes.
No wimp.
Yes.
And boom, he died.
Yep.
So you don't know.
You don't know. But like I said, in his 60s, he has a 2-3% chance of dying if he gets it.
Yeah.
There is, you know, life is uncertain. You cannot live in fear of dying. The fatality rate for being a human being is 100%. We are all going to die, right? It's when and of what. And, you know, if you let fear rule your life, you're going to have a horrible life. Put your mask on. Get out of the house. Get some exercise. Enjoy yourself.
Masks are going to be a big part of
it. These are the new fashion statements. Wear your mask.
Absolutely. And we got them at Longevity.
And our patients can have them.
That's right. For free.
All they have to do is come to their visit.
That's right.
When they come to their next visit, they'll go home with a mask for themselves and their spouse.
And that includes, for those of you who want to take advantage of the free health analysis appointments, I made the big announcement about an hour ago that we have opened up an additional about 15 to 18 appointments, free health analysis appointments, in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. And these are appointments that are available between now and the third week of May. So if you want one of those and you want to come in, you not only get the mask, you get the two free tests, you also get the $100 of free longevity supplements, any supplements you want. We got quite a variety. And so if you want one of those free appointments, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com. It's easy to do. Literally, I think it'll take you less than 5 minutes to make an appointment, probably three or four. We'll be right back. Hey, just a little reminder. Remember, very early on in the show today, we got a guy who is a new client at Aging Options. And I'm real excited about this. Rajiv Nagayach at Aging Options has made available now an emergency legal kit that you don't even have to go in. You don't have to go in and make an appointment. It can all be done over the phone, over email, whatever. And you get the financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living will, advance directive, HIPAA authorization, all of the stuff, a will or a trust, whatever you need. And they call it the emergency legal kit. And it's only available at Aging Options. Leave it to Rajiv to come up with something this good. We had a caller, about an hour and a half ago, call in and saying he's going through the process and happily doing that. If you want information on the emergency legal kit, call Aging Options at 877-ELDER-47. 877-ELDER-47. Or go to agingoptions.com. Agingoptions.com. Okay. Covington, let's talk with Leroy. Leroy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I've had a terrible time trying to find a good primary care physician who is compatible with the philosophy of Longevity Clinic. When you advertise as being, the ultimate preventative medicine clinic, You're the closest thing that I've heard of as far as being close to functional or integrated medicine, and you spend at least six times more with time with a patient than anyone else. Wondering why you're so resistant to being at least partially a primary care clinic too.
That is the question of the two decades.
You know, my staff has asked me repeatedly.
I brought this up last week with you.
Yeah, again for the 50th time. Yeah. I've been pressed many, many times by my staff to open up a boutique primary care clinic, in which, you know, we treat everything that comes by. Like I did in my country doctor days. You know, my first 20-some years of my practice, I delivered babies and set broken bones and did major surgeries, and I was an old-fashioned country doctor. In those days, of course, I saw 40 patients a day and worked 14-hour days and then took 3 to 5 phone calls after midnight every night. It cost me my first family and, you know, worked me into the ground. But as a boutique clinic, we wouldn't do that. And I get tempted sometimes, but, you know, one of the joys of the doctors that come to work for me is they work 8 hours and they go home and they have the energy to have a life.
and they see 6 or 7 patients a day instead of 41.
Right.
41 is the average number of patients primary care physicians see today.
Yes.
41.
And, you know, when you see that many patients, you simply can't do a good job because you don't have long enough. And I like my doctors to have a full hour with every patient visit so that they have the time to do the things that every doctor wishes they could do but can't because they got to get into the next exam room right away.
The average doctor spends 5 minutes and 22 seconds talking directly to
the
their
patient.
Patients.
And the rest of it is writing prescriptions and recording the notes. Yeah. I don't know. You know, maybe one day I'll
if we did a boutique, first of all, there's another, some very real reasons.
It would be pricey.
It would be pricey because this is why so many doctors are so fed up, is they're seeing 41 patients a day and their incomes are horrible.
Yeah.
It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yes, it is. And physicians today are one of the most depressed groups in America. The physician suicide rate is more than twice as high as the average American.
Come on.
No, it is. A doctor commits suicide. More than one doctor commits suicide every day in America. They talk about the guys that the deaths of despair.
Yeah.
About the blue collar worker who's out of work and his job has gone away and he can't keep his family and so he kills himself. The suicide rate among doctors is higher than among the blue collar.
Wow.
Okay. So, I mean, doctors are not a happy group of people these days. They hate their lives.
Well, they hate being told what to do by insurance companies.
And never having time to do what they believe should be done. I think I've got the last happy doctors in the state of Washington.
So,
yeah, I don't know. We have talked about it many times, but we could not do it and accept insurance. Because
we'd starve. There's just no incentive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody would have to essentially work for free if we only saw the number of patients we want to see. You can't maintain an office on insurance payments and do the job right. The only way to accept insurance and see patients is to run them through on a treadmill.
So let me ask you, Leroy, good question. Would you be willing to pay out of pocket? Would you want a primary care physician that charged, I don't know,
$1,000 a month?
Yeah. $500, $700, $800 a month. Yikes. Not many people are willing to do that, possibly. I don't know.
Well, what about the possibility of updating at least your referral list of good
yes.
primary people?
That is something that I think we had the staff do last year, didn't we?
Well, yeah, but it probably, you know, he might have a good point. Maybe we need to ask just try to update that.
Yeah, a couple of times now, what we've done is we have gone to, we've put a survey out at our front desk, and every patient that came in over a 3-month period, which meant we got to see every patient basically, was asked about their primary care doctor, whether he was supportive of what we did, whether he was neutral, or whether he was antagonistic. And we made a list of all those that were supportive, and that became our referral base so that we were able to say, right. If a patient like you wanted one, we said, yeah, here's the list, and here's the list of doctors that are supportive of our approach to life. I'm quite confident the office managers have the most recent list, but it's probably a year or so old. We probably ought to, let's do it again.
Well, at least we have a list, so call it.
Probably hasn't changed a lot in the last year or so, but, you know, Pete, why don't you jot a note, remind me? Well, I'll send myself an email, and I'll contact the office managers this coming week.
Well, talk to Michelle about it.
Yeah, and let's let them, let them do it again.
All right, Leroy, good question. I know so many people bug us about this.
Yes.
And understandably so. Understandably so. Thanks for your call, Leroy. How much time do we have? We have enough time quickly. Robin in Lakewood. Robin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Yes, my question is, I've mentioned this before, Dr. Mixon has said that he prefers radiology over surgery for prostate problems, in a large prostate. My husband is 91. Why would he, why is it better, in Dr. Mixon's opinion, to go to a radiologist versus surgery on the prostate?
And well,
to a 91-year-old. Thank you.
Well, yes and no, I guess. Up until a month ago, I was most in favor of the prostatic arterial embolization for people with benign prostatic hypertrophy. It's only done by procedural radiologists, not by urologists, and they basically can shrink the prostate without all of the trauma and the destruction of the prostatic urethra and the valves, and allow the men to have a better, easier recovery and maintain their sex life. There is a newer procedure that is done by urologists called Rezum, R-E-Z-U-M. R-E-Z-U-M, Rezum. And okay. It is a procedure in which instead of cutting out the prostatic urethra and then shelling out the prostate, they go in and just do a couple of three or four needle sticks sideways into the prostate and inject a small amount of steam, which kills prostate tissue without destroying the urethra.
And Robin, I'm so sorry.
I like that one too.
So sorry, our 2 hours is gone. There is nothing I can do to stretch it out. So good luck. I'm glad we got your question in and a good answer, so take it from there. We have another 2 hours to go. If you want to find us, go to our website, lmclinic.com. Top of the page, there's a podcast button. Click on the podcast button, and you'll find where we are for the next 2 hours, live, Leading Edge of Medicine, hours 3 and 4. Go to that website, lmclinic.com, if you want to snag one of our free health analysis appointments. I hope you'll do it. Free mass, free $100 supplements, and the 2 free tests at lmclinic.com.
This is Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho and Conquering Your Pain. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are holding off on our regular Saturday 11 a.m. broadcast, but we are still seeing patients both in person and remotely using telehealth technology. We offer state-of-the-art interventional pain services, including stem cell therapy for shoulder, hip, and knee arthritis, as well as for chronic low back and neck pain. Call us today at 425-823-4000 or visit our website, conqueringyourpain.com.